On what?
We are now on Memtes, first side, approximately two-thirds of the way down. It starts with Omar Rabbi Bar Chona. You see it?
Yeah. This is October 28th,
right? Right,
right.
Okay. We're still dealing, of course, with aspects of the Birkas HaMazon, okay? The grace after meals. Okay? Now, Omar Rabbi Bar Chona, right. That's what that abbreviation stands for, okay? So Rabbi Bar Chona said, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, he said, Hatovi Hameitiv Tzricha Malchus. He says that if you make the bracha, Hatov HaMeitiv, which remember again is the fourth bracha of the Birkas HaMazon, so you have to mention Hashem as Melech HaOlam, okay? You have to mention him as being
master of the
so
world.
The first question that is raised upon this is something that we've already seen before. Does everybody have the place?
Yeah.
All right. So the question that they ask at this point is, Michael Mashman, and they say, so what? So what is Rabbi Bar Chona telling us the name Rabbi Yochanan? After all, we have already learned before several places that kol brocha she'im bo malchus lo shmo brocha. Any bracha which does not have the praise of God as being Melech HaOlam, you know, is not a bracha. The Omer Rabbi Yochanan, and didn't Rabbi Yochanan already say it Chado Zimno once before? It is already said, in other words, it has already been said by him. So what are we adding over here? The fact that you say that in Hatov HaMeitiv it requires a mention of Malchus. Okay. I want to call to your memory again, recall that we learned something along this inyan before, but now there's a different slant to it. What we learned before on the previous page was, for example, with this fourth bracha, Atom HaMeitiv, why does it begin with Baruch HaTor Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam? Why couldn't it begin, for example, let's say, some other wording? Why does it begin specifically, particularly with Elokeinu Melech HaOlam? Okay? So in the discussion we saw that basically there were a couple of different points of view. The main point of view was that this had been ordained by the rabbis after the tragedy of Yavne, and the fact that the Haruge Beitar, the people who had been slain in Beitar, were given burial and their bodies had not putrefied in the meantime, you know, during the time that the Romans had slain them to the time that the Jews were able finally to give them decent burial. So for this they felt grateful to God. And so therefore our rabbis in Yavne ordained that we should say Hatov HaMeitiv. So that this was one explanation. But we also had another explanation, why not? And that is in the line we said, look, you take a look at the brachos of the Birkas HaMazon, and to a certain extent you can say the same thing for the Shmoneh Esrei, okay? Even the brachas for the Shema. Alright, what am I referring to? I'm referring to the fact that the first bracha of the Birkas HaMazon begins Baruch HaTor Hashem Elokein Melech HaOlam, etc., etc., Hazon Es Olam, and so on and so forth. Alright, so it begins with that formula, and then it concludes Baruch HaTor Hashem Hazon Es HaKol. Now, how does the next bracha begin? Begins with the words Noda Lecha, right? How does the third bracha begin? Begins with Rachem Ad Hashem Elokeinu Yisrael Amecha, or Rachem Ad Hashem Elokeinu Yisrael Amecha. Okay. In other words, at the beginning of these two brachas, there is no mention of Baruch Ator Hashem, right? Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. It's not there. So, what was the explanation that they gave at that time? So, when we learned that the explanation was that a bracha which is somuch l'chaverta, in other words, it's part of the same general idea and it's placed right next to the previous one, does not take Baruch HaTor Hashem, right? It's like a continuation of it. Since we already have determined, also in the last couple of pages, that the first three brachas of the Birkas HaMazon, we say our midoraiso, that is from the Torah, although there were, again, that they had different explanations, not necessarily in agreement, if you remember. But the general feeling is that just as Hazon Es Olam is midoraiso, so the next two are also midoraiso. Whereas the fourth one is midorabbanan, although there was one minority opinion that said it was also midoraiso. Okay, but his was the minority opinion. The others are in agreement that it's midrabbanan. So, that being the case, the explanation given then was, on the part of those who maintain that it's midrabbanan, that inasmuch as the first three belong to one category, this is already a different category, so this is the reason why they began with Baruch HaTorah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam at the beginning of the fourth Brach. Okay? And of course...
To give it...
Yeah. Now, just as a little, parallel to it, so I mentioned, for example, the Shmoneh Esrei. The first Brach of the Shmoneh Esrei begins Baruch HaTorah Hashem, right? Elokeinu Melech Haolam, etc., etc., Avraham Elokeinu Tzvi Yaakov, and then Baruch HaTorah Hashem, Mogen Avraham, right? How did the rest all begin? Ato Gibor, Ato Kodesh, Ato Chenen, etc., etc. Okay? So that we see there, the bracha, Baruch Ato Hashem, is only at the conclusion of each individual bracha, but not at the beginning anymore. Why? Because again, each bracha is sort of smucha l'chaveta. It's tied in with the previous one. David, you had a question.
Yeah.
That's called Mashmalon. It teaches us. Okay? Yeah. Have to get used to some of the terminology that we have of abbreviations, etc. Right. Okay. So, getting back over here, we have to say at this point then that they're not discussing now the point that we've already established, that you begin the bracha with Baruch HaTorah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, but the question is it important to mention any other the fact that God is king, should there be any other references to it in the bracha? This is what they're not discussing, all right?
In which bracha are you talking about?
We're talking about the fourth bracha. Remember, it says, Atom HaMeitiv, right?
Okay.
Yochanan says, Atom HaMeitiv, this bracha, Tzmicha Malchus, right? And they question, first of all, what does he mean, Tzmicha Malchus? Didn't we learn that any bracha which doesn't have Malchus mentioned in it is not a bracha, right? And Omar Rabbi Yochanan Chalazim has already said it, right? So that therefore, the scholars in Babylonia now want to analyze this a little further. What is the meaning of this statement that was made by Rabbi Bar Chana? So Omar Rabbi Zera says, Lomar, it's to teach us Shet Svicho Shtei Malchuyos. It's to teach us, he says, that in this particular bracha, we have to mention two mentions of God being king. Chado Dido, one of them is for itself, in other words, in Hatova Meitiv there should be a mention of God as being Melech, okay? The Chado, he says, the Banu Yishalayim. So, and he says, one also belongs where? In Banu Yishalayim. What is the one that belongs in Banu Yishalayim? So, in other words, remember I spoke last week that the phraseology of the brachas was still in a state of fluidity, right?
Mm-hmm.
Had not yet been fixed 100%, and so various suggestions had been made. Just as we saw, for example, in the second bracha, one says you have to remember that you have to mention Torah, another one says you have to remember Bris, and, in addition to mentioning, the good land, and so on and so forth, and then another one said, and don't forget that Bris has to precede Torah, right? And then, alright, so what is the mention of Melech that has to be mentioned in the third bracha, right? So naturally we assume that what is it? It's Melech Haolam, right? Okay, I'll get back to the text in one second over here. Chalbeno Ishmael. So, but let's take a look right now at what Rashi has to say, okay? It begins, I see Rashi doesn't comment on this. Okay. So let me continue. I'll continue with the text and I'll get back to what the problem is over here. It says, Ihochi, he says, if this is the case, Nivoy Tlos, let us require not two mentions of king, but three mentions of king. Why? Chado Dido, one in this bracha, the Chado de Bonu Yerushalayim, and one in Bonu Yerushalayim, in other words, the third bracha, the Chado, the Birkas HaOretz, right? And one also in Birkas HaOretz. Okay? In other words, he says that God should be mentioned as king, not just in the fourth bracha, but also in the third bracha, and also in the second bracha. All right. Now, where is it mentioned, for example, that God is our king in the third bracha? We say, Elokeinu, Avinu, Rieinu, Zaneinu, Panzeinu. Yeah, right? Elokeinu, Avinu, Reyenu, Zunenu, Panasinu, Akadim, Akadim, Yav, Havaklona, Hashem, Nekim, Nehi, Wakadim, Nehi, Wakadim, Nehi, Wakadim. No, it's not mentioned over there. It should be. No, that's already the fourth block. All right, so it's not there.
No, it's the fourth.
It's not there. Okay. It's not there. And also, it's questionable as to whether it is in the second one as well. Okay? So far, we've established only that what? That you have to say Malkeinu, right, or mention of God as being Melech in the
fourth bracha.
In the fourth bracha, okay.
Somewhere.
Yeah. So he says, all right, but, in the analysis, so he suggested that it should be mentioned both in the second and in the third and the fourth bracha. But they say, Elo Birkas Oretz by Tamolo. Why don't we mention in Birkas Haaretz, in other words, the second one, why don't we say, Baruch Ator Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Nole Lecho, or something like that, okay? So he says, it's Mishum Dehavilo Brochas Mechel Chaverta, right? This is a brocha which, as I mentioned before, it's dependent already on its preceding brocha. Okay. Bonei Yerushalayim, right? So he says, in that case, then you shouldn't ask him a question either about Bnei Yerushalayim, that, why don't we say Baruch Ator Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Rachem Hashem Elokeinu Yisrael Amecha, something to that effect, okay? So he says, for the same reason, because it's also a bracha, Smuchel Chaverto, right? So far, we have eliminated that, as we already explained. So he says, Hu Hadin. He says that Afilu Bainu Yerushalayim Nami Baya. He says, so we shouldn't even raise this question concerning Bainu Yerushalayim. Why don't we say it? Ela Aida Deyoma Malchus Beis David. There we have a mention of king. But who's king? The Malchus Beis David Mishachecha.
Right.
So Lav Orach Ara. So it is not correct. Literally, Derech Eretz. Orach Ara is the same as Derech Eretz in Hebrew. It's not right, in our relations with God, right? The Lo Amar Malchus Shemayim, that we shouldn't mention the kingdom of heaven. I mean, is the kingdom of man, in other words, David, our king, is he more important than Malchus Shemayim? Okay. So far, we have established, about saying it. But let's take a look for a moment at the Rashi over here where it says Lav Orachara. Do you see it? On the margin it says Pei Aleph Eino, right?
Yeah.
And then go up two lines. Alright, so it says Lav Orachara, he says the Lo Yomar Malchus Shemayim. It's not right, he says, not to mention, right? The kingdom of heaven, Bebonei Yerushalayim. So therefore, Hilkoch, he says, for that reason, that's why he decided to include it in Hatov HaMeitiv. Okay? And then the parenthesis indicates that simply in other texts of the Talmud, of course we're talking about earlier texts, this is why it's a marginal note, they added the Omer Melech Olam HaTov HaMeitiv, they say that you have to include Kena Melech Olam, but that's not necessary because we already established that before. This is the reason why in our edition it's questionable as to whether it should be included. I don't mean Melech Olam, but as to whether this phrase in parenthesis should be included. Okay. So, yes.
Okay, I'm a little lost with this. Can you go over the Slucha Chaverta, how that connects with Bnei Yerushalayim?
Okay. We learned the basic principle that Brochas Mukhal Chaverta does not begin with Baruch HaTor Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam. Okay? This is a principle that we learned. Let's take some examples. We learned that, for example, the brachos that precede the Shema Yisrael, the first one, we do say, Baruch Ator Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, in the morning, Yetzirah, and in the evening we say, Hashem Bidvor Ma'ariv HaRogim, right? And what do? We conclude, Baruch Ator Hashem HaMa'ariv HaRogim, or in the morning, Yetzirah HaMiyoretz, okay? Now, how does the next bracha begin? Next bracha does not begin Baruch Ator Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam, Instead, it begins with either Ahava Solem or Ahava Rabbo and so on, right? And only at the conclusion of the prophet that we find Baruch HaTor Hashem with the concluding phrase, okay? Why? Because we establish that one is dependent on, or it's a logical, if you wish, a logical continuation of what has already been started. The same thing we said with the Shmona Esrei, that the first bracha has Baruch HaTor Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, right? Baruch HaTor Hashem Elokeinu Kevaseinu. Of course, there it doesn't say Elokeinu Melech HaOlam. But we had a discussion about that in the Gemara several weeks ago, and we saw that they said, well, if you recognize God as being the God of our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, it's tantamount to saying, you know, to proclaiming God as king over the universe, because what did our patriarchs do? They were the ones who first came to the world, and they proclaimed God as being the father of all of us. You understand? Being our king. So, okay, God's fine. All the other brachas of the Shmona Esrei, as I mentioned before, they all begin with words like Ato Gibor, Ato Chenin, Ato Kodesh, etc., etc., Reign of Yunyin, whatever it may be, okay? But they only conclude each individual bracha with Baruch Ato Hashem. So this is the principle of brachas Mukhal Chavirta. All right. Now we turn our analysis to the Birkas HaMazon, which is what they're discussing right now, okay? And we see the first bracha, Baruch HaTor Hashem Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Hazon HaZoilom, Kol HaKetuvim B'Chei Mechesed, etc., etc., and it concludes, Baruch HaTor Hashem Hazon HaSakrat. Good. God's right. The next bracha does not begin with Baruch HaTor Hashem, right? Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, but it begins with Nodo L'Chor, and only the conclusion is Baruch HaTor Hashem, our Lord's Al Mazon, and okay. The next bracha, which is still like dependent upon the previous one, right? So that begins with Rachem Ad Hashem El Kiri Yisrael Amecha, etc., etc., right? And then it concludes Baruch Ad Hashem Benim Barach Mo Yerushalayim, or another nusach that we have is simply Bonei Yerushalayim, which is what it was probably in the days of the Talmud, because that's how they always refer to it. It's Bonei Yerushalayim, okay? In other words, the ending is similar to that we say in the Shmona Esrei.
Okay.
You know, Yerushalayim Yerucha Baruch Toshim Baruch Ad Hashem Bonei Yerushalayim, okay? So that this was probably the original ending, but we added Berachamov and his great mercies. Okay. Now, okay. So far, so good. Then, what did we say? We said that the fourth bracha, either by virtue of the fact that it was created at a later date, right, or because it is not smucha lachaverto, in other words, not dependent upon the previous ones, therefore, Hatova Meita begins with what? Baruch HaTor Hashem, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, right? Hakel, Avinu Malkeinu, Adoreinu, and so on. Notice the word Malkeinu over there, okay?
Yeah, but what you're saying is that it's not connected, not because it doesn't start with the Baruch HaTor Hashem, it's because it was not Midoraisa.
That is correct.
That it was
Midoraisa. As I said, this is the majority opinion.
Right.
Right, that it's not Midoraisa.
Well, that's why it's
therefore correct. So that by virtue of that, it's not smucha lachaverto. In other words, it's chronologically, if you wish, the different time, right?
Connected.
Or its background is not quite the same as the others, okay? We had also learned before, you know, last week, that or 2 weeks ago, that Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who ordained Hazon HaSoilim, right?
Right.
Joshua came along and he ordained what? That Noda Lechor, because he was the one who supervised the conquest of the land, right? Dovid HaMelech, who conquered Yerushalayim and established it as a right? So therefore we added, you know, that. And the Alabayas HaGadol HaKodesh, that part of the bracha, this came from the days already of King Solomon. Why? Because it was he who built
the house.
The house, okay? The temple, all right? So those all had biblical precedents. But what is the biblical precedence for Hatova HaMeitiv? There isn't.
There isn't any. The fact that they were they're thankful to God
now,
for burying
we gave another interpretation that we have to accept God's judgment. Right? In other words, you have to accept whatever God gives unto you and so on. This is part of the idea of Hatova HaMeitiv. Okay. But as you can see, it's thematic material differs from the others. All right, so we've established the point that it is not smucha lachaverto, and therefore it begins with Bonei Yerushalayim, with Baruch HaTor Hashem. Now the next question that they wanted to know is, okay, Noda L'Chor, we said, all right, So there's no mention of God being king in there. God's fine. Why? It's Brochus Mukhal Khavira. How about Bani Yerushalayim? There shouldn't be any over there either. But what is there a mention of? The answer is there's a mention of Malchus Beis David. So now they ask the following question. Why should Malchus Beis David be superior, shall we say, to Malchus Shemayim? You get the idea? So that therefore what they're saying now, as Rashi understands it over here, you know, as he interpreted, that the decision was to have Baruch Ator Hashem Lekein Melech Leilom in the fourth bracha, not just because it isn't the bracha, you know, smuchel chaverto, but also because it's lav arachara. It's not polite, it's not right that the Rebbeinu Shalelem should get no billing whatever in the fourth bracha, inasmuch as we've already mentioned Malchus Beis David in the third. And so this is another reason, so to speak, why we should mention God as ruler of the universe. God is our king. Okay? So this is where the discussion stands at this particular moment. Right? Okay. No, so Rapapa Amar Hochma.
Okay.
Rapapa said, this is what the meaning of that phrase is, where it says, you know, that you have two mentions of Malchus. He says, Tzricha Shtei Malchus Levar Medido. He says, no, you need two mentions of God as being king, in addition to the fact that you start off with Baruch Ator Hashem Lekein Melech Leilom. You understand? Mm-hmm. This is what he says. Yasiv Rabbi Zeira Acharei the Rav Gidol. So Rav Zeira was sitting behind Rav Gidol. The Yasiv Rav Gidol came in Rav Huna. And Rav Gidol was sitting in front of Rav Huna. Okay, now obviously, who is the Lera? Who is the Rebbe? Mm-hmm. It was Rav Huna. Okay. But these are all great rabbis, and you know, they're having a discussion. The Yasavika Omar, and what did Rav Gidol say? So he quotes a halacha. Halacha is, and this is something I'd mentioned several weeks ago. Here's the source for it, okay? Tor, the Lehiskir Shal Shabbos. What if a person in the benching, you know, made a mistake and he forgot to mention that it is Shabbos? You know, he forgot to say, right. Vachalit Zainim, okay? So in that case, how does he conclude the bracha? He says, Omer, then he says, Baruch Shenosan Shabbosos Nivinukol, the Amo Yisrael, the Yahavo, the Oz to the Bris, Baruch Mekadesh HaShabbos. Now, of course, when it says Baruch Mekadesh HaShabbos, the understanding is Baruch Ator Hashem Mekadesh HaShabbos. Okay? So he says, if you forgot to say with Zevach Litzenu, then in that case, concluded, that is, conclude the bracha, you know, Shalom Nevoshim L'Kaleim L'Yolom Moed, and you forgot to say it, right? And you're starting to say, Neyu Shalom HaKadosh Baruch Hu Amenu, but you caught yourself before Baruch Ator Hashem, so he says, add the following phrase so that you can be Yotzei. Namely, Baruch Shalom Shabbosos L'Nuchod Amo Yisrael L'Yahavor, right? Blessed be he who gave Sabbaths to his people Israel, so that they may, you know, that they could rest on it in his great love, the oath of the bris, and he gave it also as a sign of a covenant, right? Baruch Mekadesh HaShabbos, and that's how the ending is made, so that way we so make mention of Shabbos. Okay, so Omale, so at this point Rav Huna said to him, Mana Mora, who is the author of this particular nusach, so to speak, you know, of this statement, how we should conclude the bracha? So he said, Rav, it was Rav. Remember that Rav is, you know, the great contemporary of Rav and Shmuel, right?
Mm-hmm.
So it was Rav. And Rav, incidentally, is also the author of several of the other things that we include in our tefillahs, particularly, for example, the musaf of Rosh Hashanah. Rav is the one who is the author of, you know, the Malchus, Reina Shofres, for example, Oleinu. This was his composition. Oleinu and Alkeinu Kaveh and so on. This was the creation of Rav. So remember that they lived roughly about the year 200 of the Common Era. Oh. So you can see how far back, you know, his poetry goes back. And, you know, it was accepted, and this has become the standard Nusach for us, okay? So Rav formulated this bracha in case you forgot about Shabbos. Okay?
He was,
yeah.
What is the Kamar mean by that?
Yeah. Rav and Shmuel are among the first Amoroyim, but they were also students of Rav Yehuda Hanasi in Eretz Yisrael. And then what happened after they had learned Torah in Eretz Yisrael from Rav Yehuda Hanasi, so that they could be considered like Tanoim in this respect, since they were among the scholars in Eretz Yisrael, scholars in the Mishnah, they then went to Babylonia and each of them founded a yeshiva over there, Sura and Pumbedisa to be exact, okay? And the result was that they are considered the first generation of Amoraim. Yeah. Hodo Yosef, again, it happened that he was sitting the Ko'omar, and again, Rav Gittel said, Tovalei Hiskesh Ad Yom Tov, what if you forgot to include the Alevi Yovei in the benching? Okay? I forgot to make mention about Yantav. So, Omer Baruch Shemasan Yomim Tovim Niamo Yisrael, then you conclude the bracha, Blessed be thou, O Lord, right, who has given festivals to his people Israel, the Simcha Ulezikaron, right, for rejoicing, and also that we should remember. Naturally, what we should remember, one of the things that we should always remember is not only the significance of the Yantav, but the fact that it's also Zecher. See, this is one of the themes that run always through Shabbos and Yontav and so on, that we don't forget that remembering, we should always bear in mind the fact that it was the freedom that we gained from Egypt which made us into a nation, and therefore it is something that we must remember every day of our life. Okay? And what is the conclusion? Baruch Mekadesh Yisrael Hazmanim, right? In other words, Baruch Ator Hashem Mekadesh Yisrael Hazmanim. Om Alei. So again, he said unto him, Ana Moro, who is the author of this? So again, what do you answer? Rav. Okay. Ori Yasevik Omar. Again, he sat and he made the following statement. He said, Tov Elo Hiskir Shel Rosh Chodesh. What if you forgot to mention Yalevi Yovei of Rosh Chodesh in the mention? Omer, then in that particular case, Baruch Shanasan Roshei Chodoshim Niyamo Yisrael Zikaron. He says, we have to conclude, blessed be God who has given Roshei Chodoshim, Rosh Chodeshes, that's the plural of Rosh Chodesh, Roshei Chodoshim, to his people Israel, for a memorial that we should be remembered. The Lo Yodana, but he says, I'm not sure, I don't know, Iyomar Bo Simcha, whether he also included the word Simcha, Ilo, or not. If you take a look with Yontiv, what does it say? The Simcha is the Quran, right?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in the case of Rosh Chodesh, he's not right. Sure whether he included the word Simcha or not. Okay? Ilo amar bo Simcha. Ichosim bo. Ilo chosim bo. Ididei or the Rabbi. He says, these are things that I'm not sure of. I don't know, first of all, whether he included the word Simcha. I also don't remember whether he had an ending for it or not. Chosim, if you remember, is the conclusion of the Baruch Baruchat Hor Hashem and whatever the words are. Okay, so for Rosh Chodesh, he wasn't sure whether it was exactly the way we have it over here, or maybe you went back, after mentioning about Rosh Chodesh, so he's not sure exactly what the ending should be, okay? And also he says, I don't remember whether it was the day, whether it was his formulation, either Rabbe, or maybe even before Rav had learned it from his teacher in turn. That this is what the procedure should be on Shabbos, on Yom Tov and Rosh Chodesh if you forget the proper inclusion in the Shmon Esrei over here, because here we're talking about benching. Okay, talking about Birkas HaMazon. Gidel Bar Manyumi, this is also Gidel, but I think it's a different Gidel, because here they mention the name of the father and before they didn't. Okay? Undoubtedly has to be because it mentions over here that he was standing in the presence of Rav Nachman, and Rav Nachman was already a later Amora. Okay? So this is a different Gittel than the one that we have. Alright, so Gittel Bar Manyumi, Havakai Kameh Rav Nachman. He was standing before Rav Nachman, Right? And lo and behold, see what happened. Torah Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman forgot. He made a mistake. He forgot to say in the benching. Right. And you know what he did? The Hodul Aresha. And so, when he reminded himself that he had forgotten to include it, he went right back to the very beginning of the benching. Omale, so this Rav Gidol Bar Minyumi asked Rav Nachman, he says, "My Tama Avid Mar Hochi, tell me why, O Master, did you do what you did?" Omale, so he said to him, "The Yom Rabbi Shila," because Rav Shila had said, "Omer Rav, in the name of Rav, To'o Chozer LaRosh," right? That if you make a mistake, you have to go right back to the beginning. The Omer Rav Huna. So now he asks him, but didn't Rav Huna say Omer Rav in the name of Rav To'or, that if he made a mistake, Omer Borosh Hunosan? You know what we've had, you know, this formulation.
Yeah.
So why did you go back? You could have concluded it that way. So he said to him, Omalei, he says, tell me, Lav Itmor Aloha, haven't you learned in connection with this Omer Rav Menashe Batachlifa, what Rav Menashe Batachlifa said, Omer Rav in the name of Rav, what? Lo Shonu, where do they say that you had that special phrase and concluded, it's Eloshenei Posach Batova Meitev, that's as long as you have not yet begun the Bracha Baruch HaTor Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, you know, okay, Elovinu Malkeinu, etc., etc., you know, this Bracha that we call HaTovah Meitev. Okay, so in that particular case, right? All right. In other words, yeah. Let me finish the next phrase, and then I'll explain it. Okay. Avol posach v'atovah hametiv. But what if you had already begun hatovah hametiv? Then in that case, chosel l'rosh. All right. So in other words, what he's saying, the situation is this: granted, Rav formulated that in case you made a mistake and you forgot on Rish Chodesh or you forgot on Shabbos and so on, so you have these phrases to make up for it. But when can you use these? The answer is, as long as you did not yet begin the bracha Baruch Ator Hashem of the Kingdom El Chaylom, okay, Lovid Malkin, otherwise with the bracha Hatovah Meitev. But what if you've already begun saying Hatovah Meitev and then you suddenly say, Oy vey, I forgot to include Yalavi Yovi, or I forgot to include it, Sefer HaChlitzeinu? Then in that case, he says, that's when you have to go back to the beginning and start benching all over again in order to make sure that you include it. This is the way he passes. Okay? Omer Rav Idi Bar Ovin. Rav Idi Bar Ovin said, Omer Rav Amram, Nesem Rav Amram, Omer Rav Nachman, Nesem Rav Nachman, Omer Shmuel, in the name of Shmuel, as you can see. They want to make sure that you know who is the original author of all these statements,
yeah.
Right? So he says, Toa Velo Hiskir Shav Rosh Chodesh, Bitfilo Batsir Nasa. Shmuel made a statement to the effect that if he made a mistake and he forgot to mention Rosh Chodesh in the Shmona Esrei, then Machzir and also they make him go back and repeat. We'll come back to that in a second. The Birkas HaBozon, but if he made a mistake in Birkas HaBozon, ain't Machzir and also then they did not cause him to go back. Alright, so first of all, you know, to repeat the whole benching. First of all, you notice that they're making a distinction over here between what? Between Rosh Chodesh
and
Yom Tov and Shabbos. Okay, so that's the first thing that we have to note over here. In other words, the implication of Rav's statement over here is that if it's for Shabbos or if it's for Yom Tov and you forgot to include it, then close to the Rosh, you have to go back to the beginning, unless it is under the circumstance where you could still chaparayin, you know, the concluding of the third bracha according to the lines that we said. Okay? In other words, you know, Lord according to Ved, Baruch Ator Hashem, I forgot. So that's when you say,
you go back to
right, no, some Shabbos, except, no, then you don't go back to Yalav, okay?
Yeah.
If you already started Baruch Ator Hashem, you see, that's the point, right? If you caught yourself beforehand, then it's no problem. Because you just say Yalla V'Yavi, and you can go, you know, the normal thing you do, okay? Or Ritzev HaDisein, and then you continue. All right. But he says that we have to make a distinction between Shmona Esrei and between benching. according to Shmuel, who is now being quoted, Shmuel holds that if you forgot to include Yalaviyovi in the benching, Eino Chozer. In other words, you don't have to repeat the benching. Okay? That's what he says.
In the benching.
In the benching. This is how Shmuel postulates. Okay? Unlike Rav, who says that you have to go back. Okay. But he also says that in the Shmoneh Esrei, if you forgot to include Yalaviyovi, then Machzir Naso, you have to go back. The question is only, what do you have to go back to? Because this we already had many pages before as to what do you go back to. After all, where do we find Yalaviyovi? The answer is it's the Mitzvah, okay? Do you have to go back right to Mogen Avraham or not? So, we have different stages. If you remember during Mitzvah, and you have not yet said Baruch HaTor Hashem, in that case, you simply start in, you know, like anyone said, Yalaviyovi and so on, and the Sechazenoi Deidu. Okay, God's fine. No problem there. What if you have already, however, started Modim, you made the Bracha for, Baruch HaTor Hashem HaSishon HaSed HaSiyon? So anywhere between that point and the time that you would say Yosef Shalom, in other words, you are saying Refi, if you remember, then you go back to Ritzay.
Oh.
You understand? You go back to Ritzay, and then you include Yalaviyovi in the second time that you repeat. That's possible also. What if, however, you forgot altogether in the Shmoneh Esrei to include Yalaviyovi? Then, and you'd already, you know, as we say, Oker Raglov, in other words, you already stepped back, you were finished with the Shmoneh Esrei. So in that particular case, then you have to go back and recite the Shmoneh Esrei over again. But we had another proviso, and that was, we learned that if it happened at night, however, in Myron, and you forgot to include Yalaviyovi for Rosh Chodesh, then in that case, you don't have to go back. Why is that?
Because
the day that the Beis Din officially proclaimed Rosh Chodesh when it was day, not at night. So that, therefore, you get by on that basis, okay? So that there you don't have to repeat if you've forgotten Myron. But in Shachris, if you forgot, or if you got Mincha, then you have to repeat it.
If you forgot, left that all together.
Right.
But now, you're saying you don't have to go back, you only have to go back to it, say, if you haven't finished it.
If you haven't finished, right. Yeah. All right. But what about Chol HaMoed?
What about Chol HaMoed?
Well, let's say if it got, Yalaviyovi in the Chol HaMoed, what do you do?
Chol HaMoed, you mean in the benching or in the Shmoneh Esrei?
Talking about Shmoneh Esrei. Same thing would apply, by the way, to the benching. The answer is you have to go back. But what do you go back to? So again, it's similar, first of all. If you remember, then we'd say,
no
problem, right. Okay. But definitely, if you have recited Shmoneh Esrei and you forgot to mention Yalaviyovi at all, and you finish Shmoneh Esrei, in that case, you have to say the Shmoneh Esrei all over again.
Okay. But come again. When do you say that special phrase at the end?
I said like Velo Nevo Shlo Nikolim LeYolam Moed, right? To Nevo Shlo Nikolim Menu Baruch Ato Ad Hashem Oyvei. What I forgot.
Yeah.
Okay. So that, instead of concluding the bracha bonei brachmog yerushalayim, you say instead
the phrase
over there.
It's not in the bencher. It's not in the sitter.
It should be. I agree with you. There are. Let me see whether the article has it. That's about the only one here that's likely to have it. But of course, I have old the Urim and Thummim, which are a little bit more complete.
The art scroll is really very complete. The art scroll is a great sitter.
Formulated 18 centuries ago.
How many centuries ago?
18 centuries ago.
Really?
Which sitter is that?
Where's it?
Which sitter?
What's that?
Which sitter are you?
Look in the art scroll.
Look in the art scroll.
Okay.
The Hot Scroll Sitter, if you take a look at page 196 over there, so you see that here. First on 194. No, this is not the theory. He says that the Rachmans, if you forgot, you don't have to repeat. This is understood, because that is already an addendum, so to speak. But we're talking about the core part, okay?
The first four brachas.
Yeah, right. Specifically, it's the third one that we have.
Third one.
Okay, all right, yeah. Oh, at the bottom of page 189 in the Yad Scroll, if you'll take a look, he says, if one omitted Ritzei or Yalaviyovo, if one has begun the next blessing and said Hashem, but had not yet said the word Boneh, it says, he should conclude, it's not even mentioned in the Gemara over here, but you know, this is already with later all right? Lamdeni chukecha, this makes a posek from Telem Baruch Ato Rishon Lamdeni chukecha, so that you're not saying God's name
in vain,
right?
What does it get?
Lamdeni chukech vochta Hashem, lamdeni chukech. And then he has a whole bit. Right. Now, on the Sabbath, on festival days, the first two meals, and once we're coming to the third meal, nothing has to be done. Well, it's a special dispensation that Shalosh Shonis, if you forget. So as long as you had two meals in which you remember to say it, so then okay.
But what about the Shemon Esra then? It both applies when you can
use the Shemon Esra. No question that you have to do according to what I said before, okay?
But you don't. Okay.
All right. But then over here,
the only time
take
you can
look,
use that
right.
phrase is in the Birkas Hamazon.
So he says, if you've got to recite either it's say, meaning you know for Shabbos, so Yalla Viyovo, on the festival of Rosh Chodesh, you should insert the appropriate blessing below, before the fourth blessing in Birkas Hamazon. And he says, follow the guidelines on 189. So after the appropriate blessing below, continue with the fourth blessing. All right. And he quotes over here, you know, Shemosan and Shabbos and Nucha, etc., etc., and so there was some bris. In other words, the wording that we have over here.
The same exact wording as we've been just reading.
Exactly. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. But he also adds something else that is not mentioned over here. He changed the nusach slightly for Rosh Chodesh, I have to tell you that. Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh, right. What if it's Shabbos and Rosh Chodesh, and you forgot to say both were saying Yalla V'yavo, you understand? So then you have to have something in order to. So he has like a combination of two. If you forgot Yalla V'yavo on a festival, you know, on Yontov itself, not just Chol HaMoed, right? But on Yontov itself, so he wants to include also Shanosinon Tavim Yisrael, Son Simon, Yom. Okay, so it's slightly different from what the Gemara said, but as you can see,
if you forget both Shabbat and Rosh Chodesh,
right?
They compose a new bracha.
That's correct. Correct. They have a phrase over here in order to do that.
Provided you haven't completed the bracha, the bracha with Bonei Shloim.
Right. Yeah. Okay, so this is what we're talking about over here. And then he has for Rosh Hashanah, what should you say, and so on, which the Gemara doesn't mention over here, okay? But, you know, they have it over here.
Very complete.
Yeah. So that's why I would recommend that everybody should have an article sitting at home, so that you could refer to it. It's kind of clumsy, you know, as far as davening in it, because I find it's rather heavy, unless you have the smaller edition.
Oh, yeah, well, this one is a bigger edition.
This is meant for the Yomif, right. Correct. But I'm talking about the regular Art Scroll sitter.
It's no more clumsy than the Birnbaum.
It weighs a little bit more.
And I have the small one, too, the pocket size.
Yeah,
so.
They do have a pocket size. That wouldn't be so heavy. All you need is a good pair of eyes. That's it, yeah. But,
all right.
I don't extend this thinking, though, if somebody skips an area except for an important prayer like Yalla V'yavo or something.
Yeah, well, after all,
for example,
want to make mention,
I'll give you the cantor skipped the Hapkadosh before Baruch Hu. This is just an innocent little.
His mind was on his artistry instead of upon the Davening.
All right, but now we're.
But isn't it true? Isn't it true that if a Shliach Tzibur makes that kind of mistake, he's supposed to correct it?
Yes, so that's why.
Yeah,
immediately called it to his attention.
They correct him. No. It's too important a spot not to.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I didn't even hear him say Brook of Onan Hashem Imkamo.
Yeah.
But he remained
I
don't
know.
Oh, you heard him too?
Yeah. Blum. Blum.
Blum. Right.
I couldn't make it.
Okay. So, getting back over here, right? So, Shmuel said, right, that if a person made a mistake and he forgot to mention Rosh Chodesh in davening, that is in the Shmoneh Esrei, then we make him repeat it, right? The Birkas HaMozon, but if he did it in the Birkas HaMozon, then Masir Nosso. So, Amalei Rav Ovin, the Rav Amram. So now, the following question was asked by Rav Ovin, the Rav Amram. He says, Maishno Tfil Maishno Brocha, Birkas HaMozon. He says, tell me, why should they make a difference between the Shmoneh Esrei, right, and between benching? Why shouldn't the same rule apply to both of them? In other words, if he made a mistake, Mazir Naso, he has to go back and do it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Amalei, so he said to him, you know what? He says, Afle Didi Kashani. You know, I also couldn't figure it out.
That's your battle.
Yeah. So Shayirti the Rav Nachman. So I asked the same question of Rav Nachman. The Yom Ali, and so he said to me, Minei Demar Shmuel, in the name of Shmuel, he says, Lo Shemieli, he says, I never heard it from Shmuel why he made this distinction. Eloi says, Nechzanan. All right, but let's try to analyze it for ourselves, okay? Filo, Dechoivohi, he says, Shmoneh Esrei, right? This is an obligation that every Jew has, and so therefore, if he got, then Masir and I say, they make him repeat it, right? Birkas Mazayna, but the blessing for food, it says the boy ochel, in boy ochel. This is, after all, a voluntary act. If you feel like eating, you eat. You don't want to eat, you don't eat.
You don't
so
have to
since it's not as. So, they say, Elamiyato, but if this is the case, Shabbos is the Yom Tov, the Sagi, the Leyochel, it says. Gone's fine. The rest of the week, maybe you can skip meals, right? But what about Shabbos and Yom Kippur? It's not Shabbos, literally, it's not enough if you don't eat, right? So, Hochinami, the Torah Hodder, then in that case, if he made a mistake, he should repeat. So, Amalei, in, he says, yeah, you're right, he says. Yes. The Omer Rabbi Shilo, Omer Rav, because Rav Shilo said the name of Rav, to Choyzel Rosh, right? If he made a mistake, he goes back to the beginning. Omer Abuno, Omer Rav, to Omer Bosh Nosam, right? So they said, oh, look, didn't Rav say that if you made a mistake, you have to say Bosh Nosam, etc., etc., you know, these various formulas that we said?
Right.
Rav Itmar, no? Then we learn concerning that, but Shonu Elish Leiposach Vatolomen. So the answer they gave him is, look, we have learned already that when can you go back, right? That's when you have not yet begun. Baruch Ata Hashem Elokeinu Shalom Hatov, you know, Kehilah Hidim Alkeinu, you know, Hatov HaMeitiv. Abo Posav Hatov HaMeitiv. But if you've already begun that bracha, then in that case, Chozer Rosh. That's when you have to repeat the benching all over again.
So the argument is then that he didn't make a distinction.
Well, as I said, the exemption is only, you know,
if you
already said the ending of the bracha of Ritzei, you know, Masri Shadosa Litzion, and you started already on Modim or whatever it may be, any point from that point on, then you have to go back to Ritzei. That instead of having to go back to the beginning of the Shemoneh Esrei itself. But if you left it out completely and you forgot about it, and then only afterwards you remembered, hey, today is Rish Chodesh. Or today is Yontif, and I forgot to include Yalav Yovi. What should I do? In that case, I have to go to the beginning of the Shemoneh Esrei and say the entire Shemoneh Esrei over again. This is what we determined, okay? With benching, as I said, they had these compensatory phrases and brachas to substitute, right? But only upon what condition? That you had not already begun, Baruch HaTor Hashem Elokeinu Melech Haolam, Hokeh Elohim, etc., etc. If you had already begun that, then you have to go back to the beginning of the benching and start it all over again. All right. Now, the last statement in the Mishnah was Atam Mizamnim. And the question over there is, what exactly does it mean? So now we discover that what they're talking about is upon how much of a quantity of food do you have to have, let's say, a zimun, in other words, you know, the benching, okay? That is, you know, you have to, how much does a person have to eat in order to be eligible, right? In order to be required to the bench with the mitzvah. Okay. So the Meimra. And we had different opinions. We would take a look at the Mishnah at the beginning, you know, and it's quite a few pages back. We would see that there was one opinion, that of Rav Meir, who says Kizayis, an olive, right? And the Rav Yehuda who says Kibetza, the size of a basin. Okay, which of course is a larger size than that of an olive. Okay?
You're talking about bread.
Huh?
You're talking about bread.
Right, yeah. Okay? So, this being the case, they say, Lameimah, are we going to say the Rabbi Meir, Choshev Leh, Kizayis, Rabbi Yehuda, Kibetza? Are we to say that then, okay, Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that it is a Kizayis, and Rabbi Yehuda is that it is Kibetza, right? Like an egg size. But we learned a different din which contradicts it. What is this different din? Hey, didn't we learn the opposite, the Tanan, as we have a Mishnah which says, this happens to be a Mishnah Pesach, okay, says, B'chein mishayotzim Yerushalayim. What would happen if a person was on his way out of Yerushalayim? He left Yerushalayim, right? V'nizkar, and he remembered, Shehoya b'yodo b'sar kodesh. And he remembered that he still has some sacrificial meat. Sar Kodesh means, you know, meat from a sacrifice. He went to the Beis HaMikdosh, he brought, let's say, Koban Shlomim, okay? And, of course, Shlomim have to be eaten within Yerushalayim. You can't take it out. Then here he's leaving Yerushalayim, right? And he suddenly remembers, you know, that he still has some of the meat of sacrifices with him. So, Im Ovar Tzofim, if he has already gone beyond Har HaTzofim, in other words, Mount Scopus, as we call it sometimes, right, which is just east of the old city of Yerushalayim. So if he's already past Tzofim, why? Because, why is it called Tzofim? Because from there, you can be Tzofeh, you can see the Beis HaMikdash, is the idea, okay? That's how it got its name.
Tzofeh, yeah. Meaning?
Tzofeh means to see, to spy, right, this is what Tzofeh means. Today they use it also for scout, but the word itself implies that it is, yeah, that they usually use it in the PL form, like mitzapeh, mitzapeh, that you're hoping for, you're waiting for, you're expecting, whatever it may be, yeah. Okay, so, if he has gone already beyond Har HaTzofim, then sofro b'mikomo, in that case, he has to burn that meat at the very spot where he remembered. Okay? He's not allowed to take it, he's not allowed to use anything, he must burn it. Okay. The Yim Lav, but if not, then Chozer, he has to go back to Yerushalayim, Mesof of the Abiro, and he has to burn it in that part of the temple compound, which is in front of the temple building itself, Meyatze HaMa'arocha, and use the wood of the that was used on the altar in order to burn the korbanos, he has to get some of this firewood and burn it over there, lifnei habira. Okay? But the point is, he has to go back to Yerushalayim. Now they ask the question, at kama him chozrim, right? With what quantity of besar kodesh do you have to go back? So Rabbi Meir Omer, zeh v'zeh b'chabetzo. So Rabbi Meir says, in either case, you have to be, you know, the size of a beitzo,
at least,
right? In other words, if it's less than that, he would not have to go back, right?
Yeah.
Rabbi Yehuda Omer, zeh v'zeh b'chazayis, right? In either case, right, the quantity is a kazayis. When I say in either case, what I'm talking is as to whether he's going beyond Sofim or not. Where does he burn it? But in either case, what is the quantity, all right? So we see over here what? That Rabbi Yehuda says it's,
yeah.
Right? Rabbi Meir says kibetzah, right? Rabbi Yehuda says over here that's kazayis, and yet in our Mishnah it's just the other way around. When it comes to what quantity do you have to have in order to be obligated to bench, right? So Omer Rabbi Yochanan, so Rabbi Yochanan said, Luchlefes Hashita, he says, no, turn it around, he says. In other words, make either, you know, Rabbi Yehuda, in other words, make both of these two Mishnayos in agreement with each other. Either that Rabbi Yehuda is saying Kezias for both, or he's saying Kebesa for both. And the same thing with Rabbi Meir. Abaye Omar, he says, Liolam lo sipol. No, don't turn it around. Keep the reading exactly the way it is. Why? Because Hocho Bikrai Pliga Rabbi Pliga. Here, they are in a disagreement as to the interpretation of Sukkim in the Torah. Rabbi Meir Sovar, Rabbi Meir is of the opinion what? The Ochalto, this refers to eating, Zuachilo, Visavoto, and you shall be satisfied, Zushasiyo. It says this applies to drinking. Right? Vachilo Bechazayas. But Rabbi Meir is still stating the fact that how much do you have to eat in order to to bench, to be obligated to bench, and the answer is Ekezayas. Rabbi Yehuda Savar, Rabbi Yehuda has a different interpretation of the Achalta V'Savota. He says, V'Achalta V'Savota, that means Achila Sheyesh Bos Veyo. It says, when the Torah tells us that we are obligated to eat and to be satisfied and to praise God, it means that we have to eat enough for us to feel satisfied.
Amen.
Now with a kezias, we're not going to feel satisfied, he says.
The
Ezezu is kebetza. You have to eat at least a quantity of a kebetza in order to feel satisfied. Hossam, there, he says, bisvara pligi. They're in a disagreement, not about what the Torah is saying, but they're only in disagreement as to interpretation. Rabbi Meir Sovar, Rabbi Meir is of the opinion what? Chazor asol ketumasol, that having to go back, the same amount would obligate him to go back as the same amount which causes defilement. In other words, when does food become defiled? What quantity of food do you have to be defiled? All right. So he says, Ma tu moso bekebetso, just as defilement can occur only if you have a big enough quantity that it's at least a kebetso. So av chazor asol kebetso. That's why he says that in order to go back, you're obligated to do it if you have the quantity of a kebetza, that is, you know, an egg amount of meat, besar kodesh, that you have to go back for. For Rabbi Yehuda Sovar, Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion, chazor asol ki suro. He says he has to go back in accordance with the quantity that is prohibited to a person. There's a difference between being prohibited. The lesser quantity is prohibited, you understand?
Right.
But from the point of view of law, at what point do we say that you made, you know, a violation so great and so on? So that's the reason why Rabbi Meir there said that it was kebetzo. Whereas, according to Rabbi Yehuda, he says that even a kezayis already also, right? In other words, you're not allowed to take out ma'i surik the kezayis. You're not allowed to take out even a kezias of the Sar Kodesh out of Yerushalayim. So therefore, af chazor so bechazias. Therefore, you have to go back, even if it is for a kezias. So with this, we have finished the major part of this chapter. And yes, Hashem, next week we will be working on the last few Mishnayos. So we're getting towards the end. Well, we still have several pages yet. But as you can see, we're moving on in the seventh chapter, and another couple of weeks we'll be able to complete this. And then we have two more chapters
before
to
go. I go away.
Yeah, hopefully.
So we're now on.
We're now on Memtes, Omid Beis, the Mishnah at the bottom of the page.
Okay, October 28th.
Right.
So we'll meet next week?
Yeah, we'll meet next week, same time, 7:30, okay?
Yes. All right, here we go.
Okay, we're off. The Mishnah starts in
November
4. Very interesting one. It says, Ketzad Mezamnim. All right, how do you make Zimun? In other words, how do you invite other people, you know, to join in benching after the meal, right? So he says, Vishlosho, if there are three of you, Omer Nevorech. Then you say, you know, Nevorech Shechal Mishalo, right? Say Nevorech. Okay. Vishlosha Behu. Now the Mishnah has something very interesting. It says, if there are three and you are the additional, in other words, there are four, then in that particular case, Omer, the person who leaves the benching, says, Baruch Hu. Okay? Instead of saying, Baruch She'achal Mishlo, it says, Baruch Hu She'achal Mishlo. Okay, now we're going to see the same thing follows right through a whole series of numbers now. All right? Basora, what if you have 10 people who are there, you know, eating together? So Omer, then you say, Nivarech Elokeinu, right? Nivarech Elokeinu, Shekhal Mishala. Gone's fine. But what if it's Basora, but who? What if you have 11? And in that case, Omer Baruch Hu, he says, you know, not Nivarech Elokeinu, he says, Baruch Hu Elokeinu, Shekhal Mishala. Okay? And then there's a very mysterious phrase that falls into the Mishnah over here. And it's hard to interpret it at the moment exactly what it's doing over there. Later on, in a few minutes, we'll say that the Gemara gives a different interpretation. All right. But anyway, over here the Mishnah says at this point, Echor Asorah, the Echor Asorah Ribo. Okay? It says it makes no difference whether there are 10 who are there for the benching or whether there are Asorah, that's 10, Ribo, 10,000s. In other words, whether you have 100,000 people over there, the formula is the same. So the question is, what does it mean the formula is the same? So at this point, we have to say then that what the Mishnah is saying is that if you have one in addition, let's say 100,000 plus one, then what? Then it says Baruch Hu instead of, you know, whatever the phrase is. Understand? This is how the Mishnah would read at this particular point. As I say, it's a little peculiar at this point, but we'll see that the Gemara gives a different twist to it afterwards. Okay? Bob, we're on the Mishnah at the bottom of Mem Tes, Omid Aleph. Okay? I mean Omid Beis, excuse me. Alright, so then they continue with the numbers game. Okay? B'meyo, what if you have 100 people who are benching? So who omer nevorech Hashem alekeinu? Then he says, let us bless the Lord our God. Now notice, what has he added? He added Hashem. Because what did we say before? Nevorech alekeinu shechal mishalo, right? Now what does he do? He adds the word Hashem. So if there's 100 people there, so he says, then you say nevorech Hashem alekeinu. Now, what if it's b'meyo v'hu? What if you have 101 people? Then in that particular case, omer baruch hu. Then he starts off the benching with the word baruch hu. Uve elef, and what if you have 1,000? Then hu omer, then what does he say? He says, nevorech, lad Hashem, elekeinu, elekei Yisrael. Notice now he's adding, not just nevorech Hashem, elekeinu, but he's adding the expression elekei Yisrael, right? The God of Israel. The Elifahu, and if it's 1,001, then Omer Baruch Hu. Beribo, what if you have 10,000 people who are eating over there? So Omer Nevorech on Hashem Elokeinu, Elokei Yisrael, Elokei Tzvavos, Yosheb HaKruvim. Okay, now we're adding, you know, let us bless the Lord our God, the God of Israel, the God of hosts, right? The one who sits upon the cherubim, in other words, dwells in, you know, the Shekhinah. The divine Yechidah that dwells over the cherubim in the Beis Hamikdash, right? And Al Hamozin, Al Hamozin, and Tang, also we thank God, Al Hamozin, right? Shirachal, which we have eaten. Beribo Vehu, and what if it is 10,000 plus He? Then in that case, Omer Borachu, and he says Borachu. Ke Inyan, and now the Mishnah continues and summarizes, it says, Ke Inyan Shehu Mevorech, however, you know, the person who is benching, leads the benching, introduces the benching. Kachon yimacharov. So do they have to answer after him? In other words, he says, you know, Rabbi Said Nevorech, right? Nevorech she'achal demishalo. Then in that case, what does everybody have to answer? Baruch she'achal demishalo. Okay. And of course, with the Baruch Hayinu, this will be discussed too in a moment. All right? But in other words, the way he said. Now, what if he says, Nevorech Elokeinu she'achal demishalo? Then you have to say, you know, Baruch Elokeinu she'achal demishalo. But with all the others, it's the same story. What the Mishnah is saying is that if you accept the point of view that, you know, as the numbers increase, you keep on adding praises of God. So,
however he introduces it, this is what they all have to keep on saying. So what is the result? Baruch Hashem Elokeinu, Elokei Yisrael, Elokei Tzavos, Yishva Kruvim. Okay, Alamos Yisrael Chana. Exactly what he said before, except that they say, you know, Nevorech, let us give, okay? excuse me. They say Baruch, right.
No, he doesn't.
Right. They say Baruch Hashem Elokeinu, Elokei Yisrael, etc., etc., okay?
Yeah.
All right. Now, Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer, Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, Lefi Rav HaKohol, Hei Mevorechim. He's the one, obviously, who was the author of this idea in the Mishnah, even though the Mishnah did not say so specifically, but it certainly is his point of view. Why? Because he says that according to the multitude of the people who are there, so this is how you have to tailor your bracha. Shene'emar, as we find the Pasuk in Tehillim, it says, b'makelos, when you have makelos, Makelo, of course, today in modern Hebrew they use it in the sense of choir, but here, of course, it means congregation. Okay? In other words, like the word kahal.
Kehillah.
Yeah. Kahal, kehillah, etc., etc. So, the makelos, where you have congregations, meaning, of course, more than simply, you know, a simple number, then, Boruchu Elokim Hashem Mekor Yisrael. Bless you, God, the Lord, from the very source or from the fountain of Israel. This is what the Pasuk says, okay? And now, I have to, you notice that the word Borchu is used over here. So in other words, he's not only interpreting the Pasuk then to say that according to the Rov HaMinyan, according to, you know, the multitude that is there, do you tailor the benching? But even the language, the Borchu, comes from this particular pasuk. So that this is the reason why in the Mishnah he stated what? That if it is 3 and 1, right?
Yeah,
right, 10 and 1, four, right, 100 and 1, etc., etc., you have to add Baruch Hu. This is how you introduce it. Not with Nivorech, you know, let us, but rather Baruch Hu, you do so. Alright, so this is the source of the interpretation. Omri Rabbi Akiva, so Rabbi Akiva disagrees. Rabbi Akiva said, Ma mutzinu beis haknesses. Look, he says, when we go to a shul and we daven with a congregation, right? What do you find in the shul? Echod merubim v'echod merotim. It makes no difference whether you have a multitude in the shul or whether you have, you know, just a few people in the shul. Of course, obviously, we're talking about a minyan in any case.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, whether you have just 10 people, or whether you have 100 people, or 200, or 500, whatever it may be. Omer, what does the person who introduces the bracha say? He says, Baruch Hu Es Hashem. And it makes no difference how many. So, in other words, what is Rabbi Akiva disagreeing with? He's disagreeing, obviously, first of all, with the idea that, and if you have one more, then you say Baruch Hu. On the contrary, it makes no difference what the number is. Once you have a minyan present, then Baruch Hu Es Hashem is the right way to say it in the shul, right? Now, of course, that's not what he means that you should say in the benching. But what he means to imply in the benching is that once you have 10 people or more, it wouldn't make any difference. You know, you could have 100, you could have hundreds. But whoever leaves the benching simply says the Morech Elokeinu, and that's it. And you use just one formula instead of, you know, having all kinds of different formulas. Now, Rabbi Yishmael is not happy with Rabbi Akiva for only one thing. He says, look, the proper way to say it is not simply Baruch Hu Esad Hashem, which implies you branch, you praise God. We want to have the idea that, you know, you and me, right? So that, please, therefore, he says, add the words, add what word? Rabbi Shmuel Levin, Baruch Hu Esad Hashem HaMavorach. In other words, and of course, this is the formulation that we use to this very day. Blessed be God who is to be praised, and this Rashi means. Rashi says, he says HaMavorach, and the implication is not only for you, but also I too have to praise God, you know, who is to be praised. Okay?
I don't know how that's why, how does Baruch Hu include the person that says it? I mean, I would assume.
Baruch Hu is a command.
Okay.
In other words, you bless. Bless ye, as they say in the English translation.
Yeah, okay.
Right. And so, Am Baruch, who is to be blessed means not only to be blessed by you, but the implication is also to be blessed by me.
All right, okay.
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 So we see now, you know, the origin and the phrase Baruch Hu Yisrael Hashem Hamarach, and where the general idea of Baruch Hu comes from. Of course, the word Baruch Hu is found in various places in Tehillim, particularly Baruch Hashem Alocha, etc., etc. Right. But obviously, this is an idea over here. You know, the Baruch Hu is certainly derived also from this particular pasuk. All right. So, as we see, according to the anonymous statement, even though it would seem that this is, represents also the view of Rabbi Yossi Aglili, later on the Gemara is going to say that undoubtedly this has to be his view. But the Mishnah simply stated it, stam. Stam means, you know, without crediting an author. Doesn't say Rabbi Akiva Omer, didn't say Rabbi Yezer Omer, or whatever it may be, or Rabbi Yehuda Omer. It simply tells you, you know, that Bishlosha, right, and then Bishlosha Bahu, Be'asora, Be'asora Bahu, etc., etc. Okay? So now the Gemara is going to discuss this. Omar Shmuel. Shmuel said, Le'olam ayotzi yodem esatz v'naklo. He says, a person should never exclude himself from the group. Now, obviously, what is he saying? So Rashi interprets this as follows. Let's take a look at the Rashi, see how he understands this. So you see where it says Gemara over there in the Rashi? Yeah, all right. He says, Ayotzi Esatzmo, he says, Afal Pi, even though, Shevar Bo, Hu Rashai Lomar, Lishlosha, even though, if there are four, he is permitted, Rashai means permitted, he's permitted to say to another three, Baruch Hu, just as the Mishnah said, right? But Tov Lo, it is better, he says, Sheyoma Nivorech. It's better that he should say, let us bless, rather than you bless. So he should not exclude himself from the group of those who are blessing God. Don't exclude yourself by saying, you do it. The implication is, but I don't have to. Rather, include yourself and say, therefore, not Baruch Hu, but say, Nivoreh, exactly the way we do to this very day. Yes, David.
Okay, so what we find here is Baruch Hu Ad Hashem Amvarach,
right,
is the same as Nivoreh.
Yeah, but again, notice, we have to be sensitive to the dictum, to the grammar of the word, right?
Okay.
As I stated before, Baruch Hu is a command. It's a plural command, okay? Therefore, the implication of a command is, you do this.
Right.
Okay? But, isn't it better to say, let's do this?
No, but I'm saying that what Rabbi Ishmael, when he added Hamapur Rach, that included these.
The idea is, right, to include the person himself who's saying, Baruch Hu is Hashem. Right, exactly. So that, in other words, when the Chazan says, Baruch Hu is Hashem, Hamivoroch, then he himself is including himself in the obligation to praise God, who deserves to be praised, you see.
Is that like the imperative tense,
Baruch Hu? Baruch Hu is an imperative, right, yeah. We had similar applications before. Remember, we learned that, for example, Gadlu Lad Hashem Yiti. From this, they learned what? Gadlu Ekstol, right? Declare great, okay. So I'll just play the one word Ekstol after all once in a while. It's good to use a fancy word. Saves a little time. Not if we want to impress the other guy, then we have a better vocabulary.
Listen, there also included the word E.T. with me.
Okay, so right, exactly.
So
that's exactly what I wanted to say. From this, one application that we had was the fact that God Lulad Hashem E.T. implies you two extol God together with me. So from this we learn that this is a mezuzah. You understand? Mm-hmm. This is what we learned originally. This is the pasuk in order to prove that a mezuzah consists of at least three people. So that's God Lulad, that's the command, okay? Okay, so Shmuel therefore says then the person should not exclude himself, you know, from the group. In other words, he should be part of the group and praising God. Tanan, So to this they say, hey, didn't we learn in the Mishnah over here, it says Bishlosh Shavu Omer Baruch Hu, right? That if there are three and he is an additional one, in other words, where there are four, then in that case he has to say Baruch Hu. So what he's saying is, in other words, they're saying, hey, how could you go against the Mishnah when the Mishnah says if there are three and one? So he says, hey, look, why don't you say as follows? He says, Af Baruch Hu. You could also say Baruch Hu, but what should be the preferred expression? Nevoreh. Nevoreh should be the preferred expression, okay? Because it is better, as Rashi says on the top of the page, Shapir Dami, it's much better, for Mihu, and nevertheless, Tov Lo Leyos V'Chol Hamlochi. In other words, it's, yes, you could get by saying Baruch Hu, right? Elokeinu Shechal Nemishalo, or something like that, you understand? Or Baruch Hu Shechal Nemishalo. Yes, it's permissible language because the Mishnah said it's permissible, but nevertheless, it is better if he includes himself and therefore should use what expression? Nevoreh. Right. Okay. Well, Mekal Mokam, as the Gemara says on the top, but in any case, that's what that means, that abbreviation.
Amen.
Umemem, right, yeah. Means Mekal Mokam, but nevertheless, Nevoreh Hodev. Nevoreh is much better. Okay? Why? The Omer Rav Ada, by the way, knows Odif, which means, you know, it's preferable. From this, we have a verb in Hebrew that Ma'adif. Ma'adif means that you prefer something, okay? Yeah. The Omer Rav Ada Bar Ava, as Rav Ada always said, he says, Amri Be Rav, that he said that they say in Rav's school, Tanino, we have learned as follows, Vav Nechlokin Ad Yud. If there are six people who are sitting together and eating, they can be split into what? Into two groups, let's say, of three each. You understand? In other words, you have, let's say, the number that we have now. We are nine, okay? So if we want, what we could do is to split into two groups or three groups, because we could still have three groups of three each, so that in each of the groups there will be somebody who will be leading the bench. For whatever reason it may be. It may be simply that some have to lead earlier than others, okay? So if you only have up to ten, ad over here, ad yud, does not mean including ten, because that doesn't make sense. This is obviously contradictory to what we learned in the Mishnah, which says that when you have ten, you have to add already, you know, you change the wording, right? You have to say Nivarech Shechaldo. I mean, Nivarech Elokeinu, right? So, that being the case, we have to say that ad over here means only up to, but not including ten, okay? Remember, there was a whole discussion that we had back in chapter 4 about ad plag mincha, right? Does it mean including or only up to, but not including, and so on? Ad v'yad bechlal or ad v'lo ad bechlal, okay? There's a difference of opinion as to whether the word ad means and including or it means up to but not including. Here, obviously, it can only mean up to but not including. Yeah. Well, at the time of reciting the mincha. When is the proper time?
We also had the same discussion, I believe, on was it for the hour in which it was permissible to say the Shemona Esrei, whether it included...
Yeah, right. Ad Shalosh Shoes, for example, as far as the recital of Krishna is concerned, Ad Shalosh Shoes. Yes, that's correct. Because, you know, the question is, if you say Ad Shalosh Shoes means only until the third hour, which, and you would mean not including the third hour, only up to, then it means that you only have 2 hours from the time that the sun rises in the morning, you know, for the recital of Krishna, and it's proper time. But if you say, you know, through the end of the, it means, you know, and including, you know, the third hour, then in that case it gives you an extra hour to do it without breaking the law. And the same thing, of course, with the Shemona Esrei, though we learned that technically you could say the Shachar Shemona Esrei until noon, but nevertheless, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion that it should be said, Ad Dalet Shoyes, and again, taking it in the sense of, and including the fourth hour, so it gives you roughly till about 10 o'clock in the morning for the proper time for reciting Shemona Esrei. go beyond that, even though you could go until noon, but you know, the idea is to be zoris by mitzvahs. You should get up and do your mitzvahs at the right time and don't put it off, you know. Okay. So, therefore, he says, Vav nechlokin ad yud, right? Six can be divided into groups up to ten. As I explained to you already. So, Iyamit Bishlamor, if you say, in accordance with the opinion, Nivorech Odiv, you know, let us bless. So that's, you know, that is Nivorech is the better language, right? So Mishum Hachi, so for this reason, you've got to get used to these abbreviations. I assume you all have the same abbreviations that I'm looking at. So Mishum Hachi, then for this reason, Nechlokin. This is the reason why they can, because in other words, if your opinion is that you should say Nivorech, let us bless, you understand? Then that would fit fine, you know, for three people in the group. Ella Lav, Ella Iamrit. But if you say that you have to say Baruchu Adif, that Baruchu is the better expression, the preferred expression of my Nechlokin, then why should you divide? How? I mean, if you're going to start in, you can't divide into three, because what happens? You lose the opportunity to say to the other guy, Baruchu. So that therefore, what does it show? Elalav, Shema Minei. But we have to then come to the conclusion, what? That Nivorech Odiv Shema Minei. So it's like QED. The Shema Minei over here means, okay, we've now proved the fact, what? That Nivorech is the preferred expression. By virtue of the fact, you know, that we indicate that you could break up a group which is, you know, not, which is less than 10, but you could break it up into smaller groups if you wish, where, so the word Nivorech proves that this is the preferable expression to use and not Baruch. Tanya Namichachi, we've learned similarly. This happens to be a quotation taken now from Tosefta. It says, Bein she'oma Baruchu, Bein she'om Nivorech. It makes no difference whether the person who is leading the bench and says Baruch Hu, or whether he says Nivorech, ain't tov shino se'al kach. Then you don't interrupt him on this. In other words, you don't grab him on this. In other words, don't attack him. If you don't like the expression that he used for this. We had not done him, but the guys who are very, very punctilious, tov shino se'al kach, they do attack a person if he uses an expression that they feel is the wrong expression. So this is a new word, not done. Interesting. Comes from what word? Comes from the word nekuda. What is nekuda?
Period.
A dot. Right. So that therefore, knocked on in, these are the guys who are looking for every small little dot that they're jumping for whatever dot of thing.
He's a finicky guy.
Right. Right.
Pen pecking.
Actually, the English word punctilius.
Punctilius, yeah.
Yeah, it comes from the Latin word punctus, which actually means point. This is the meaning of it. So, in other words, punctilius means that he's very exact over the slightest point, the slightest dot, something like that. So, let's sort of correspond to the word doctor over here. Now, Gemara continues and it says, and the way a person phrases his brachas, this is also a quotation originally from Tosefta, says how a person phrases his brachas, Nikor can recognize Im Talmud Chochem Hu, Im Lav, whether he is a scholar or is not. Now, a person is going to phrase it, we can understand whether he knows what he's saying or he doesn't know what he's saying. Example.
Depending on how he phrases.
Yeah, how he phrases his bracha.
Bracha.
Right. Ketzer. So he says, how? Give me an example. So here's an example. Rabbi Omer. Rabbi says, Uvit Tuvo. Of course, in the bench, you want to say, Uvit Tuvo Choyin. Right? Baruch She'achal Nishaloh. Which would be, you know, covered by the phrase that we had, so on. And Rabbi says that we should also say, Uvit Tuvo. And by his goodness, right? Chayinu, of course, we live. Okay? So, Rabbi Omer Uvetuvo, Hareze Talmud Chacham. If a person says Uber to go, then in that case it shows that he is a Talmud Chacham. If he would say, however, Umituvo Chayinu instead of Uvetuvo Chayinu, so he says, Areza Abur, this shows that he's an ignoramus if he says Umituvo. Why? The answer being, according to Rashi, again, Rashi says that Umituvo would imply, we thank God for what he's doing, but, you know, we could use a little bit more. As if we're complaining to the Rebbeinu Shalom for what he's giving to us, and it's a half-hearted compliment. So that, therefore, if he would say, Umituvo, it shows that it's an ignorant way of expressing it.
This is assuming that the people are benching without benefit of a prayer book. They're just...
Correct.
Just speaking it.
Correct, absolutely. Because as we explained many a time already in the past few weeks, there was no siddur in those days. So it had to be memorized.
Right.
And, you know, that's why this one adds this phrase, this one adds another phrase. Like if Rabbi Akiva says, Baruch Shad Hashem, Rabbi Shmuel comes along and says, you should add also the word Abba Baruch. So, of course, that's what we do to this very day. But again, you see that at the time of the Mishnah, it was still in the process of creation. Okay, so we see then that how a person phrases the bracha, we can recognize whether he is a Talmud Chacham or whether he is an ignorant person. Omalei Abai L'Rab Dimi, so Abai says to Rab Dimi, the Hok Siv, isn't it written, Umi Birchoscho Yivorach Es Beis Avdecho L'Yoylom? And this happens to be King David, who says to the Rebbeinu Shalom, says, and from your blessing may the household of your servant be blessed forever. Okay? And notice, why is Abaye asking this question of Rav Dimi? Because he wants to point out to him, why do you object to the word umituvo? You understand?
Mm-hmm.
If it says, if King David says, umibirchoscha, so what's wrong with this? There's nothing wrong with that. So the answer of Deming is, he says to him, Le'olam b'she'elashani, he says. The truth is, however, that if you're asking God, in other words, you're praying to God, then in this particular case, it's a different situation. What is the implication? The implication being, as Rashi explains, that when you ask a favor, all right, let's say you come to a person, you ask him for a favor. You don't ask for everything. You ask instead, please help me, or whatever it may be, you know. Right? But, you know, you don't ask for everything at one time. Okay? So that, therefore, even King David or anybody, they approach the Rebbeinu Shalom to ask. So in that particular case, as Rashi puts it, you ask like your Oniba Pesach, like the poor man standing at the doorway seeking for the donor from the Rebbeinu Shalom. He's begging. So he begs the Rebbeinu Shalom, please give me something from your goodness, okay? Let's analyze what we said just now. What was the objection to Umituvo?
See if I get this
right.
We're when you're doing the Birkat HaMazon, you're thanking God,
right?
We're using now the English
the
bounty that He's bestowed upon us.
Correct.
So if you say, let me do it this way.
Sure.
Mituvo, it's with your bounty, which implies all of your bounty. If you say Mituvo, it's from your bounty, which means, in effect, you gave us a portion of your body, but you withheld a good deal of it. So you're sort of saying, well, thanks for what you gave us. You know, it wasn't as much as you could have given us, but we're happy for what you gave us, which is, as you say, it's kind of a...
Absolutely. You got it right on the nose.
Blessing.
Right. All right. So now when Abaye objects, he says, Lord, King David used the word umibirchoscha and from your blessing, right?
Right. Okay.
So he says, well, that's different. It's not, you know, thanking God for the little that you gave us, but it's rather, Rebbeinu Shalom, please give me at least a little bit of the bracha, okay?
Right.
So this is a little different. It's a different situation. Exactly.
fiddler on the roof?
Yeah.
I'm kidding. If I were a rich man, then I'd...
It's an Alanite take out. Do you remember? I always waste time here. But what you're saying is, like the Ani, the poor man at the Pesach banquet. If you follow that song along, he says, "Would it spoil some vast eternal stack?"
Yeah.
If you just made a little, a little shift here in your accounts, you know.
Right. Yeah, no.
Whoever wrote the lyrics did a good job.
Yeah.
Some of the songs are really good.
He must have studied.
You know, when they showed it for the first time, Fiddler on the Roof, they showed it in Tel Aviv. So naturally, Ben Gurion knows, they went to see it. So the reaction was, no, Shalom Aleichem, it's not. But, they like the music, the songs, etc., etc. Okay, so now they say, the Shaila Nami, look, even in begging God for something, it's also written Hoxie, right? Hachem Picho, the Beinu Shalom says unto us, he says, open wide your mouth, Bam Aleihu. And I will fill it. Of course, this is in the, the capital tillum that we say every Wednesday. Right? Hacham Dichmalim.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So, in other words, the Rebbeinu Shalom too wants us to do what? To open our mouth and ask. In other words, we should see fully what we were asking for, right? So he says, no, Nochnit. He says, Ahu b'divrei Torah k'siv. He says, this is in connection with, with words of Torah. In other words, the Rebbeinu Shalom says, open wide your mouth in order to ask for knowledge of Torah, and that's okay. But, for other favors, don't demand so much, right? Tanya Rabbi Yomer, and then we have another statement which says, Rabbi says, right, Bitubo Choyinu, right, that we have lived from God's goodness, or we live by God's goodness. Harezet Hamad Chochem. But if a person says not Choyinu, but he says Bitubo Chayim, the implication is people live by it. But what is he doing? He is ignorant. Why? Because what is he doing? He is excluding himself. Again, right? Instead of saying, we recognize that we all live by God's grace, right? So if someone says Chayim, it means people live by it. But it shows that he himself is not phrasing it correctly, because he does not include himself, the fact that he too lives by God's grace. Nahar Balai Masna Ibcha. There were, however, people in a certain community back in Babylonia, Nahar Balai, and they said just the opposite. The less Hilchasokadar Balai, but the halacha doesn't follow what they had to say.